Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, that's a good idea. All the kids and the Sunday school teachers are released.
Amen. It's good to be here. Thank you. Thank you, Mike. You honor me always. I hope I can live up to these kind of things. I do want to start this morning. It is almost as if once we say the magic words, ask Jesus into our heart, then that's it. And I just want to say that's just the beginning of a supernatural walk with God. And to be able to hear God is awesome. To be able to have Him whisper in your ear, and then to have Him give you the desires of your heart. You see, there's only one of you on the face of this earth. And it's hard for you or me to believe that God thinks about you. And in Psalms 139, it says this: His thoughts about you are as the sands of the sea. Isn't that amazing? And many times, we don't even think about Him. And yet He's thinking about us. And He's got plans for us. Before you were born, He has plans for you. Amen? Would you just turn to the person next to you? God's got plans for you. And so what we'll do is measure ourselves, at least I do. We measure ourselves by our bad days. We measure ourselves by the sin or whatnot, instead of measuring ourselves by what God thinks about us. And I don't think most Christians get it. I'm just going to be honest with you. And you can turn me off right now. That's fine. But I just think there's a whole nother level. In fact, I'm going to tell you there's many levels of God. And I'm just amazed at what God will do through you and through me. Is that okay to start that way? Because it's more than just hearing something, it's being something. And in being something, how do we do this thing? And I never really heard it taught very much. And so I'd like to, I'm not going to turn, but in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I think it's verse 23, if you're a teacher type person. But I'm more concerned whether you're taking notes. I want you to listen. Because he says, I wish that you be blessed in your body, in your soul, and in your spirit. And so I'm here to tell you, today I want to speak to your spirit. Because it's out of the spirit man that you become what God's plans are for you. And some people never get into the spirit. They almost turn off God or turn off somebody else. Well, I'm saved. So, but that's just the beginning of a walk with God. And you see, what I mean is you'll be a tool in His hand. And I got a bucket. I thought about bringing it, but my life got turned upside down this morning. But in my bucket, I've got some rentals, and I got my favorite tools in there. One is a hammer that my kids never stole. I have four or five S-wings, and they're about $28 a piece. Them suckers just rapture. So I bought one for $2 at a garage sale, and that baby stays. So that's my favorite. It's my favorite. And I got that one, and I got a blue handled, called an Amish socket set. It's a crescent wrench kind of a thing. It fits all sizes, and those are my two. If I can't beat it, then we'll try to move it. Amen. And when I'm going to go to something, I usually go to there because that's my favorite. And I've been crying out to God. I want to be his favorite. And somebody was talking to me just yesterday. We had a men's breakfast, and I told the men, I says, you know, I'm God's favorite. Because I heard my kids, my youngest daughter, name is Dawn, she tells the other, especially the boys, because it ticks them off, you know, I'm Dad's favorite. He's going to leave me more than he ever thought about leaving you. So they're talking about me dying before I finish living. Amen? And that's what some of us do. We almost plan for our death before we've lived. I don't know about you, but I'm going to talk to your spirit. I believe inside of you, there's something about God that says, I want to be your favorite God. And if you use anybody, use me. Use me, God. And so I've been praying these kind of things. And God, remember we talked about body, soul, and spirit. And so the spirit man is the thing we don't hear about. A lot of what we do is out of our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions. And so I'm going to bypass that today. I'm speaking right to your spirit. Because, you see, when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, God says, "You in that day that you eat of the tree, you will surely die." But yet, their body didn't die. They had mind, will, and emotion. That didn't die. What literally died is the place where God dwells. And that's your spirit. We work hard on our mind, will, and emotion. Most of successful books that I've ever written deals with your emotion. So how do we fill our spirit? You see, it's supernatural. And here I am, I believe in tongues. I hope that don't offend anybody. But I believe in speaking in tongues. And I'm finding out, see, in Romans chapter 8, it says that the Spirit, can you say the Spirit? will help you with groanings too deep for words. I run out of words when I talk to God because it just seems like they're void of what I'm trying to say. They don't carry the capacity of what my spirit wants to reach out with God. So I begin to pray in the spirit and in those unknown tongues, that heavenly language, I can connect with God, and God connects with me. And he tells me things, and he wants... See, this God is a personal God. He wants to talk with you like a husband and wife in bed, if I can use... Maybe that's not a good example, but you know how you have pillow talk, and my wife has learned we got about 5 seconds to talk like that, and I'm in the spirit... which I'm just sleeping. I'm not spiritual. And so we begin to talk. We begin to, but it's in those times of complete exhortation when your spirit, you see, it's hard for us to disconnect from our mind, will, and emotion and our bodies crying out to get into the spirit. But when you get into the spirit, that's when it takes you to a whole nother place. And that's where you learn how to walk in the things of God. Most of what I've ever done came out of me speaking those things as though they were. And wanting to be a man of God, wanting to be a supernatural man because of the great man that I walked with. I said, oh God, I want to be like him. And then I felt the Spirit say, why would you want to be like him? Why don't you want to be like you? And those were unheard of because I look at myself and I look at my shortcomings and what I don't do. And if I'm not looking at, somebody's there to remind me, you know, of the shortcomings. But God doesn't look at that. He looks at you in your spirit. See, I don't even know if I'm even making sense to you. But most of us are not, we will not get in the Spirit because our souls are bigger than our spirit. So we're governed either by our body or by our emotions or by our will instead of by the Spirit of God. Jesus says, I've got to leave. Because see, if I'm here in this present body, I will not be able to minister to millions. He said, I've got to go so I can send the Holy Spirit of God. For those that receive Him, see, the moment you gave your life to God, yes, your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Yes, that does get it where you go, where you die. But listen, here's the news. Your mind, will, and emotion does not go to heaven. Your spirit does. So turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to start there, and hopefully I can do what God wants me to do, because I think this has a lot to do with winning or speaking or sharing about this awesome God. See, I don't know how in love you are with God. We sing the songs. That's not the problem. The problem is, what's bigger in you, your mind, will, and emotion, or the Spirit of God? But here in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, it says this, then God said, let us make, if this would be my Bible, instead of man, would you put your name there in your own Bible? Maybe you haven't got a Bible. I don't know what you got. In my Bible, it says this, let us make Glenn in our image. And according to our likeness, let Glenn have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all of the earth and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Is that what you have in your Bible? Hopefully you have your name there. And then you have to say, well, how am I doing with that? See, how are you doing with dominion? If you can't rule your soul, you're not going to have dominion in anything else. Don't talk to devils because they'll just look at you. So I'll just stay here. Because what casts out demons and what performs miracles is what? It's the Spirit of God working through your spirit, not only in communication, but doing the miraculous. And you say, why does he talk about the miraculous? We need the miraculous today to win this lost and dying world. We need him. Jesus needed him. How much more are you going to need him? But then Jesus said, you'll do greater works than I've done. And I'm thinking, come on. I want to do that, God. And that's where we think we want to hear, well done, that good and faithful servant. If we don't walk above our mind, will, and emotion, you will not be a well done, a well run person. And that's what I want you to be. And even more important, that's what God wants you to be. So yeah, you can be saved and do nothing. Hear nothing. But it won't catch you on fire. It won't allow you to walk into a room and demons begin to tremble because of your presence. And I hope I'm not talking beyond you, but that's what the Bible gives us. We have dominion. And so then it goes on to verse 27. So God created man. And who's a man? Okay, about four of you. It might be a good time to say me. Can you say me? In case you didn't know. And so God, maybe I'll do it this way. So God created Glenn in his own image and in the image of God. Or I could say, God created Jeanette in his own image, and in the image of God, he created Jeanette. See, if you'll start to put your name in there, it'll mean something to you instead of saying, because we say, man, that's somebody else, or that's some general term, but it needs to be incorporated with you. Then he goes on and he says, and God blessed Jeanette. And God said to Jeanette, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. You see, when we see these things, we sometimes say, well, that was good for them, but I don't do that. It's because of the lack of the Spirit of God, if I can say this. It's not religion. Some people get religion. We have them in the church that I go to. I got religious people. They're like a recording. They speak something that they'll never live. They sing something that is just vague in their concept. But the only way God will use you to how we sing and the word that's in there is by you building your spirit. And that's why it's important. And you might say, well, I thought you were going to talk about the lost. We'll get there. But see, if your spirit is not activated and if your spirit is not growing, when you speak to someone like Jesus, they said, never I heard a man speak with such authority. That means divine unction. That means government. These things come, exousia is the word, and that exousia comes out of the throne room by you communicating with him at another level. How many of you can hear FM radio right now? Well, believe it or not, I don't hear it. But that's what it's like, the Spirit. The Spirit is moving and brooding over the face of the earth, and he's looking for those who will say, God, I'm willing to look like I'm crazy for you. And so then we move into this other realm. We begin praying in the Spirit. We begin to seek God in our spirit. And we want to do all that God would have us to do. Why? Because we're just madly in love with him. And if you're madly in love with him and you're kind of crazy, then it's not a job. And then you have authority. But even more, you can't stop talking about what you've seen and what you've heard. See where I'm headed? See, if you haven't been touched, see, what's the difference between a Catholic church, a Protestant church, a Redeemed church, whatever you want a title you put on it, that doesn't have the Spirit? It's just another name, just an empty religion. But I'm here to tell you, to worship God, you must worship him in Spirit and truth. And when you move into the Spirit, there's a sweetness. And there's words that come to you, and you can't believe them. You can't believe them. Because remember that Psalms 139 where he says, his thoughts of you are like the sands of the sea. He's always thinking about you. He's God, so he can think about you while he's thinking about somebody else all the time. Amen? And he's rooting for you. He brings people past you so you can demonstrate the power of God. And then we miss it sometimes because we're living in religion instead of relationship. And that's what the Spirit is. Is that okay? And you might say, this guy is weird. I know. The problem is, the older I get, the weirder I'm getting. Because I'm seeking God. I want to seek him. And I'm finding him. In Acts 1:8, if you'll turn there, the Bible says that you'll be endued. Let's just read this now. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And it'll be a good time just to read the whole thing. But here's but you. Who's you? Okay, and I'm going to help you. How many of you have a name? How many of you have a name? Okay, about 30 of you. All right. The other ones, I don't know what to tell you. Hey, you. Might be a good name for you. Maybe I should say, hey, you. But if you don't know your name by now, you see, God's got a name for you. And he calls you by that name. Actually, when God does speak to me, he calls me Glenn. I seem to know that name. My mama used to call me that. And so, you see, sometimes we don't put this thing in line because it says, but you, And what's your first name?
Oren.
Okay. I heard Oren. Awesome. And see, when you put that in there, and it said, but Glenn or Oren, let's just use Oren. And Oren shall receive power when the Holy Ghost. Where's the Holy Spirit come? Does he come in your body? Does he come in your soul? Or does he fill your spirit? Spirit. When you ain't got your spirit turned on, hello. I'm sorry. This mailbox is full. I'm sorry. They have not set up a proper answering. How's that work for you? God says, what? See, we think it's all, everybody gets the same amount. I think we have an opportunity, but it's only as you build that relationship with him. He says, you can receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And what's you? Oren. That's right. Oren's got this thing. But who is you? You were made in the likeness of God. What was made in the likeness of God was not your body, was not your soul. It was your spirit. And if we can get that, it's another dimension. It's your spirit that was made. And that's why you must be born again for the Spirit of God. You have a spirit of man, but then there's a Spirit of God. Now the Spirit of God comes into where humanity, the human spirit is at, and they become one. And the Spirit desires to conquer the human spirit, and then it leads the mind, will, and emotion, which leads the body. And if we can't get that, it's just religion then. Then we just trod. You just move along. But here it says you'll receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you, Oren, shall be my witness to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So why is it so hard to talk about Jesus? It's a spirit thing. It's a spirit thing. Turn to the person next to you and say, it's a spirit thing. And your spirit is what endues power. So if you're what they call a carnal Christian, which means you're alive, but you haven't been activated. You ever get a cell phone and have to have it activated? Well, try using it before it's activated. Hello? It doesn't do very well. Amen? See, we think that's all we got to do. We say these magic words and everything in here is for us. It is, but we need to be activated by the Spirit of God. I had a satellite thing in my other car, and sometimes it would say, lost satellite connection. How does that happen? Well, it's up in the sky. Amen. Like God, third heaven. But he won't lose it. It's us that lose the connection with him. By the Spirit. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2 now. Because we want to get somewhere. Because I can give you formulas. I can tell you how I do what I do. We were in a service in Raleigh, North Carolina. While the praise and worship was going on, I went around and led two people to Christ. While other people were entertaining themselves, I was working. I turned to J.B. Masindi then. After I got done, I said, I've led two to Christ and I haven't even got the platform. I'm expecting more out of you. Hello? How could I do that? Because it's a spirit thing. Now, he did excellent, by the way. Here in Acts chapter 2, I'm going to start with verse 2. And suddenly there came a sound of heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house that they were sitting in. And there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, And one sat upon each of them, the tongues of fire did. Awesome. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. That means that spirit thing we're talking about. You see what I'm talking about? To worship Him, you might worship Him in spirit and truth. So it's spirit and the Word of God. You want to activate the spirit, you got to read your Bible. Once you read your Bible, you now begin to use that spirit now to communicate with God. And now you start to say the things that God says, not what you think. See, if you go into Exodus, you have to turn to it. But in Exodus, you'll see something happened. In Exodus, you had the children of Israel. God says, I've given you the land. Right? I gave you the land. You know, not too long ago, somebody gave me a car. And I said, what do I got to do for this car? You have to come and get it. They said, or we can bring it. I said, I'll come get it. How long did it take me to get to Battle Creek? About a half hour. And then I got there. I was in a hurry. Amen. I got this. They may decide to take the car back. And I got there and they said, there's no hurry. Everything is done. All you have to do is sign. But I had to come and get it. It's yours. But I had to come and get it. Now, where did that come from? I was going to go to Africa and I was talking to the Lord. I don't know how many of you do that. Seriously. I said, God, I'm going to tell you something. In my opinion, I don't think you've treated me real well. Did you ever have a talk like that with God? Maybe you never did. Some of you are just, you don't talk like, well, I do. I got a relationship with Him. He wants me to come in spirit and in truth. I'm going to give Him as much truth as I know how. And listen, God loves that. So I said, God, I just want to know something. Are you going to take care of me when I'm old? Or do I got to make another plan here? Is that okay to say? God never answered. See, I just figured He didn't answer stupid. Amen? So it's when I came back from Africa, the phone call, and as soon as it came in, the first thing I did, I hung up the phone. I said, thank you, God. See, He answered. I'm going to bless you here. And here, and here, and here, and here, I'm going to take care of you. Don't you worry about it. That's what He said. And I'm here to tell you, He'll take care of you. But you have to have a spirit communication with Him. So I went and got my car. The children of Israel, God said, go get your land. And you know what they did? They went and reported. But they didn't go by the Spirit. They didn't believe the Word. Is the speaker going over? Can you hear me fine? Okay, I just thought so. And you begin to see this thing. And so what did they do? They went into their own thinking. Can you say, turn to the person next to you. Maybe you ought to stop thinking like you think. Because the Spirit will think differently than what you think. He speaks excessively what God says about the situation. So they went, then they came back. And here, they came back from, this is how dumb this is. They came back and gave a report on what God gave them. Hello? See, it was as though they said, I know you said it's ours, but we don't want this car. If there's anybody here who wants to give me any extra titles or land or houses, please just sign them and I'll pick them up today. Amen? If you don't want none of your promises that God has given you, then you tell me and I'll pick them up for you. Amen? I'll be a rich man by the end of this day because most Christians do not believe the Word of God because they interpret it through their mind, will, and emotion instead of by their spirit. Go check out the land that I've already given you. They come back and said, we are like grasshoppers. Well, they're not bad in chocolate. I've had them before, amen, or maggots. They're not bad. But here they said, we're just like grasshoppers. We can't do this. God said, oh my goodness, I gave it to you. I'm a God that can consume. Your enemies will melt like wax at my presence. That's Bible, by the way, in case. And so they denied it. So God had a plan. Amen? Isn't he awesome? He said, all these folks are going to die. They're going to die in their own stinking thinking. So they had to walk around a little place that you could have walked around. They said you could have walked it in, like, was it 3 weeks you can walk it? They walked around for 40 years. Boom. And there was two guys that gave a good report. Anybody know who they are? Caleb? Joshua. So Caleb and Joshua, they were walking along with these guys that didn't receive the promises of God. And I could, this is how I would do it. Boom, somebody's like, yes, one more down. With some of you at that quick. So we had to wait for a couple million people to die, amen? Woo, glory to God. And you know what happened then? When the last person died. Can you say the last person died? I bet there was a celebration. And what happened? Joshua says, hey, we can cross over now. The deadheads are dead. The ones that wouldn't receive the word of God, the power of God, the thinking of God, the promises of God. Now we'll take what's ours. Oh God. Do we still have a deal? God says, I'll give you whatever the soles of your feet take. That's why they were walking slow. They were taking on real estate. Amen. Caleb, now he went in when he was 44. 40 years later, he's 84 years old. And most of you would say he's done. He's saying, you young pups, catch me if you can. Because I'll take out that giant like Grant went through Richmond. And Caleb took the land, took out the giant. And the hill country was all his. At 84 years old, he outlived millions of people because of the promises of God. I believe if you walk in the promises of God, you can live longer. I believe that you'll have things that other people will not get because you're willing. And see, God will always work through the willing. Amen? Now the question is, are you willing? See, you can't just say, well, I'll take the cars and the land, but I won't take the work. So you got to go by the promises of God. He's got people that is destined to be led, destined to be healed by you. I was in a prayer line in Winter Haven. And I felt God said that he would heal folks with arthritis and cast out spirit, people with spirit of fear. So we had a little altar call off the side. The rest of you can just go have your pizza or whatnot. And we were praying, and you could hear people yelling. They were being healed. Bam, just bam. I'd run along like a locomotive. I was just so excited to see God touching and healing and healing and healing. And I looked up. Well, somebody actually poked me and says, here you go, Glenn. I looked up, and here's a deaf man. Because they were doing all this to him. And I looked up and I said, oh my goodness. I said, I ain't ready for this. I said, take him back to the line so his faith could be stronger. And so I don't know if his faith got stronger, but it gave me a pause. Amen? Isn't that amazing? And so I told the Lord, I said, and this is human thinking. Can you say human? Turn to the person next to you. I think you're that way. I told the Lord, I said, God, I can't do this on that man. He said, Glenn, you ain't done none of it. And it was like a reset. Oh, I thought I'd been casting out all these devils and healing these people. See, that if it becomes so common. And I said, Lord, you're going to have to help me. He says, I have all your life. He said, Glenn, if you'll do what you're supposed to do, I'll do what I'm supposed to do. That was rhema to me. And so this guy came up. I said, bring him here. And it sounded like my faith was in me. No, I had a reset in my faith in God. And I touched him and prayed for him, and I broke down. I could still get emotional. And I was just, God, I want to see this with my own eyes and with my own hands. And while I was saying, he said, I can hear. For the first time, I can hear. And that's just so wonderful. I grabbed him and hugged him. He was hugging me. And I could just say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. You see, you don't have to do miracles, but miracles are awful handy. Amen? And this, I said again, that's how we're going to reach a lost and dying world, is to show the God that split the Red Sea, the God that raised Lazarus. But I'm going to say this. I never thought about this. Because after I got done, I was just bragging on God. And he told me this. Healings are temporary. Well, does that mean this is just for a few minutes? He said, no. As long as they live, they'll last. Where's Lazarus today? He's in heaven. Well, okay. How about the blind man? Heaven. But he was healed. You see, healings are just so temporary, but a soul that's saved is eternal. And so God says, I want you to... I want to use you whenever I can. But the greatest thing we can do is see people come to Christ. Because your neighbors, your relatives, that you know are around you, and you let them go to hell, their blood I'll require at your hands. That's Ezekiel chapter 3, by the way. See, we don't even get it. We think, oh, I'm just... that's God's job. No, he has you. You're his favorite tool. He's filled you with his spirit. He's given you eternal life. And now he's saying it's up to you to open up your mouth. And then people say, well, I'm quiet and I'm an introvert. God says, just shut up and get on what you're going to do. Stop making excuses because you're an introvert in your mind, will, and emotion. That's not the spirit of God that's in you. Greater is he. Come on, can you say greater is he? That's in me than he that's in the world. Well, then let him out. There's people he's put around you. Well, who am I? A child of God, joint heirs with Jesus. A daughter, a son of the Most High God. And I'm filled with signs and wonders according to the Word of God. You might say, can you show me that? Oh, I can. In your Bible, Mark chapter 16, verse 17. Now, I want you to get there. I'll turn this Bible here. I told someone once before, they were talking to me. We were discussing the Bible. I said, don't make me open up this Bible. Because that's like pulling out a 357 Magnum. Because this Bible is worth more than anything you got to think or I got to think. It is supreme and it lasts forever. Are you ready? It's in Mark chapter 16, verse 17. He says this. We got to read 15. Okay, well, you're ready? Don't you love the Bible? I never get tired of it. It says this. And he said to them, go into all the world. That means New Hall, Grand Rapids, amen? Or wherever you got. Preach the gospel. So this is a command. So let's just start there. How you doing there? How you doing with preaching the gospel to everybody that's around you? If it's moving, preach at it. That's what I was taught at school. I took what they call a practicum evangelism class, and you could only pass if you led 5 people during that class time to Christ. I won't tell you how long it took me to do it, but I had to stay with the rest of them. Anyway, verse 16, he who believes, can you say believes? That word believes means trust, give your life to, lean on. The Bible says that the devils believe. So if that's all you got devil belief. I don't want to offend anybody all at once. Just stand in line. He who believes and baptized will be saved. See, and I hope you hear me. I'm saying this thing because I'm trying to pull you up to a whole nother level of what God has for you. The only way you become his favorite tool is you begin to operate off the things that he has for you, and then you go to another level, and then another level. Then you're Holy Ghost on demand. I really mean that. Holy Ghost on demand. It says this, he who does not believe is condemned. King James uses the word damned. That's when he says he calls up the dead and the damned. So let me help you out. Every neighbor, every friend, every relative that you know, and you know the truth, and you don't talk to them, and you don't try to persuade them, they will go to hell because of you. Verse 17, are you there? Isn't this exciting? These signs will. Can you say will? These signs will follow those who believe. So there is, when I had my heart thing, many of you didn't know, I went to a Cleveland Clinic 2 years now. Oh, I guess year ago. I guess it was just a year ago, last September. And 10:30 in the morning, I remember looking at my watch and said, I told Artis, I said, this ain't looking good. I said, but either way, we'll meet on the other side. We kissed, and I didn't know if I'd ever see her again until I woke up. Amen? But they did open heart surgery on me. And then you know what they kept doing? About at first, every 15 minutes. They come in and they grab my hand, you know. And I said, no, I was awake later on, you know. And I said, why are you doing that? You got a machine. It sounds like Burger King. You know, things aren't going right. Beep, 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 beep. Because my heart was having a problem picking up pace. It was staying around 30, sometimes 25, jumping up 30. When it got down below 30, beep, 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 beep. So I kept hearing this and people come in and they grab my hand. And they said, these are your vital signs. This tells you whether you're alive or not. Can you say vital signs? See, if you ain't got no vital signs, there's that machine that I'm hooked to. It'll go beep. That's not a good sound. If you hear beep, the next thing you'll hear is code blue, code blue. Then everybody comes running. They come with paddles in their hand. And you get the shock of your life. Amen? Now, I didn't have that, but there was a person down the hallway. And I remember I just woke up, and I heard beep, 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 beep. And then later on I heard cold blue, cold blue. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. I was looking around trying to see this monitor. And the artist says, well, if you could see it, you know it's okay. All right. Every man for himself, I thought to myself. Anyway, So it says these signs. Can you say signs? Will follow them that believe. So let me check how your following's doing. Are you with me? See, if you ain't got these signs, you may not be living the way God intended you to live. And he's saying, come on, activate. Activate. I had a phone once, and I'm not very techie, and I'm hard on electrical equipment because I'm expecting it to work now. And so I'll just use, we had this clicker at church. That thing I couldn't get, so I just threw it against the wall. I said, see how you work now. Amen. And it did. It started working, but it wouldn't shut off. It just kept going click, click. It says, these signs will follow them that believe in my name. Can you say in Jesus' name? Woo! That God that's in you, that activated spirit. Now, you won't like this, but this, are you reading with me? This reminds me of a song. Hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Hang down your head and cry. Because, see, some folks, they say, I'm living. Houston, we have a problem. I don't have a heartbeat. I don't have a sign. There's another song, sign, sign, everywhere. Anyway, forget it. Okay. You know it. And these signs will follow in my name. They will cast out devils. How are we doing so far? Come on. I didn't write this thing, but this is a sign of an activated, spirit-filled earthling. Headed for heaven. Child of God. Joint heirs with Jesus. Filled with the heavenly gift. And your job is to take heaven and bring it to the earth. I could show you all that. We'd say it, at least a good Catholic. I don't know if Protestants pray it anymore. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. What's the sign of the kingdom coming? The sign of the kingdom coming was the manifestation of the Spirit of God through Jesus. In you hearing these, the kingdom came. And then what did he do? He would cast out devils and heal the sick. He said, heaven's come. It wasn't a theology. It was a move of God. How's your theology versus your movement? He says this now. Are you ready? They will speak with new tongues. I've heard people say, well, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I don't speak with... I don't know. I just read this thing. I didn't write it. How's your tongue talking doing? Shandai. Harabaku shohonama kakaya. Kikahanama tuho. That's your spirit, man. That's your spirit, man. I've been speaking in tongues a long time, 1978. I got filled with the Holy Ghost at the Best Western. It wasn't the best in those days. It wasn't even at a church service. An old guy laid hands on me and said, receive the Holy Ghost. Wow. We ran across the bed, down the floor, around the other bed, on top of the nightstand, down we was running. And the people... I don't know who it was. I think it's the person at the desk come knocked at our door and they said, what is going on here? I just got filled with the Holy Ghost and I broke out and began to speak in tongues. He said, well, just close the door behind you. Anyway, they speak in new tongues. They will take up serpents, drink deadly poison, it will not harm them. And they will lay hands. Can you say they will? That's what it says. It says right here. Right there in this. They will! Can you say, I will? Lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. How are we doing? Maybe I'll have you reach over and grab the person next to you and see if you got any pulse according to the Word of God. Can you say, according to the Word of God? See, I don't want you to come away and say, that Glenn makes me so mad. Well, no, I'm just reading the thing. but I'm also a heat-seeking missile. Well, I thought that's for special people. Welcome to Specialville.
Come on.
Right here, all of you are special. And I mean, I've had people say, aren't you special? When they say it like that, that's not nice. That's not. It's like you're handicapped or something. Amen? Aren't you special? It's you are special. You're made in the image of God. And in the image of God, you're made. There's only one like you. God Almighty thinks about you as the sands of the sea. He's got plans for you. And he's saying, activate. I want you to feel right now the Holy Ghost on top of your chest, pumping you and saying, come to life. 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 So there you go. That works. So signs. I want you to reach out for signs. These signs, what's this a sign of? It's a sign that Jesus is Lord of the earth. There will be a sign unto you, saith the Lord God. A virgin shall give birth to a son. Can you say a virgin? Wow. You remember doing that, Isaiah? Remember that? That would, see, a sign, you're not there yet. It just tells you, this is where it's coming. There will be a sign for you. The signs, see, just because I'd seen a sign that says Grand Rapids, 20 miles, I'm not there yet. There will be a sign. And then when you get there, it means you're operating in the sign. I don't know if I'm getting anywhere today. A sign. Turn to Acts chapter 4. We'll probably end there. I had some more scriptures. It's a good thing I didn't bring my notes. Acts. You see, this is what I've been working on my whole life, by the way. I started out casting out devils. I want you, could you just be a little crazy? Could you actually do that? I know some of you are really awesome people, but you're caught in yourself too much. You take yourself too serious. So I'm going to give you an assignment. I want you to get in front of a mirror, and I want you to close. In my bathroom, I got a mirror. How many of you got mirrors in your bathroom? Okay. How many of you have a bathroom? Okay, a little less than had a mirror. God bless you. Your neighbors are excited, aren't they? You get in front of that mirror, and I want you to say, you are a man of God, or you are a woman of God. I'm expecting great things out of you. And I want you to do that at least twice a day. Faith comes by, and hearing by the... But here you begin to see something. Expect. So you know what I did without any training or teaching, and you can do this. I asked Artis, she was raised Christian. I wasn't. I was raised Roman Catholic. And I wasn't born again. And it's not that all Catholics are going to hell. There are some good, I believe there are some going to heaven. But I didn't know any demonized people. So I put an ad in the paper. My wife says, Glenn, we don't do that. Well, how do you do it then? I got to cast out some devils if I'm going to have signs. Well, I don't know, but we don't do it. Well, how do you do it? Well, I've never had. Well, you ain't got no signs then. These signs, see, I was stuck in this thing called the Word of God. So I put an ad in the paper, and like when it came out, that day we had 10 people that said, we have devils. I grabbed my Bible, and I'll just make the short story, and we went out. I cast out devils that day. It's exciting. Didn't know what I was doing, but God showed up anyway. Amen? Devils left people. Devils left houses. People were set free. People got saved. It was amazing. Anyway, so you can put ads in the paper. Now, in Acts chapter 4, in verse 20, so I want you to turn to that. It says this, "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." Listen, is that where you're at? I can't stop speaking about the things that I've seen, the things that I've heard. I just, if I go tell you on and on, I want to tell you about Jesus that loves me, talks to me, works through me in a magnificent way. And I've had people come up to me and said, "You're the worst pastor I've ever heard." And I said, "But doesn't that give you hope?" Amen? See, that's what I want you to see. I'm excited today because I still keep seeing. I still keep seeing God. When we was in Raleigh, there was a guy that he was, chronic fatigue syndrome. He had lost his job, couldn't go to work. It's terrible. Isn't that terrible? And he came up to me and he said, "Glenn, what am I going to do?" I said, "Well, do you like not working?" He said, "I'll do anything." That's awesome. We can work with that. So I just prayed for him. Totally healed right then. Bam. Hit the ground. Got up. He said, "I'm going to go see about my job." Left that day, got his job back. He's going to get a paycheck. Isn't God good? Amen? Do you think he can talk about God? Do you think he can tell his neighbors and his friends, I lost my job. I couldn't get out of bed. But today, the God of today is better than the God of yesterday. The God of today wants to work with you. He wants to bless you. And so what do? You get those friends, your relatives. Start there, friends and relatives, neighbor. Talk about what God has done for you. Tell them the wonderful things that God's done. If they're sick, pray for them. If they don't get healed, pray for them and pray for them and pray for them till something happens. Pray for them every time you see them in Jesus' name. And stop wondering, if they weren't here, what does that mean? Start just being obedient. See, I've stopped wondering. Well, I prayed for this person. You know what? We had some people, we had church, something like this, and the first few people that I prayed for, they died. I had a killing anointing. Amen? People were lining up just to die. Amen? Not really, but it seemed like everybody I prayed with died. And it was suddenly my calves were dying. I anointed these calves with oil, and they lived. I got it now, amen? I can't wait to try this out on people. I've been trying it out ever since. See, that's what I want you to enter into. Could you listen to your spirit and rise out of religion, rise out of death and become alive? So now your neighbors, I've shared this before, right before we moved, because I'm just going to say, the community will know who you are. I could tell you lots of stories, but here's what I want you to get. Listen, are you ready? I was down in my office at the other house in the basement, and I heard the doorbell ring, and I yelled, because I know I shouldn't yell in the house, "You want to get that, honey?" I didn't hear nothing, but then I heard the door open. I heard him because I came around, and I was at the bottom of the stairs, and he says, "I have a devil." Artist says, "Just a minute. Glenn, here's another one." He'll be with you in a minute. He walked away. So I came up the stairs, and here's this guy demonized. He said, "What do I need to do?" I just said, "Stand there." Commanded out that spirit. He began to cry. He wobbled a little bit. Said, "You ain't going to fall." And so I just held him up against the wall till he was okay. I said, "Can you drive home?" He said, "I think I can." He says, "I'm free." I said, "Go spread the news." Amen. Tell him my address. Amen. Isn't that awesome? How about you? Does your neighbors come to your house? Well, that just means you ain't got the advertisement out there yet. Yet. But starting today, we're going to be looking and we're going to be praying. We're casting out devils. We're going to be preaching the gospel. Verse 15, preach the gospel in your street. But it's, listen, 90% of all people who come to church is friends, relatives, associates, and neighbors. And the first thing Christians want to do is go after the 10%. So you go after the 10%, I'll just take the 90%. See what I'm saying? You got friends. How many of you got friends? Okay, a few more that had bathrooms. How many of you have relatives? Okay, how many of you have anything? Okay, I'm just, somebody didn't raise your hand, I'm nothing. But, see, I want you to see, and so what is God is requiring of you? He's saying, allow your spirit to listen to me. Because your body, soul, and spirit will say, you can't do that. You don't have the words. See, it's more about the spirit that's in you. Greater is he what? Huh? Do you believe that? I mean, do you really believe that? Well, then go and prove it. Just go like this. Say, my heart's still moving. I can do this thing. And I've seen some amazing people. Mike's been with me. We've led kings to Christ. Governors to Christ, senators to Christ. How? Greater is he. Greater is he that's in me. The difference between some people is we know it. See, once you get it into your knower, that God will back up his word. Remember? This is yours. Remember me talking about that? That car? This is yours. God says, these signs are yours. Can you say they're mine? The difference is some people will say, I can't. Or maybe you just, or say, I don't want to. I can't see that. Listen, in my book, born again Christians lead people to Christ. Born again Christians cast out devils. Does this bring another slant to church? Born again Christians lay hands on the sick and they recover. Wow. And who does all that? The God that's in you. You do what you're supposed to. Remember what I told you God spoke to me? You do what you're supposed to do. And God says, I'll do what I'm supposed to do. Now, he loves you, and he's got plans for you. So step out and experience what most Christians never experience. They go to church. They sit down. They get up. They go home. They come to church. They sit down. They get up, and they go home. And their neighborhoods aren't infected. They talk a lot about stuff. God, don't you love this scripture? These signs will follow. Amen? These signs will follow. And then you teach your kids. Dawn Marie, you don't know her unless you're on Facebook, and then you get filled with stuff. But Dawn Marie, I'll share this. I just want to give you as much as I can. See, I see this little child or this little boy. Awesome. Right there. If we raise him up right, by the time he hits school, he'll be casting out devils. Dawn was in this, I think the second or third grade. I get a call from the assistant principal. Pastor Glenn, you got to come to the school. I got a full schedule here. I got people waiting. Can you just give me, is this really important? It's really, really important. I said, can you just tell me what's going on? Your daughter tried to cast a devil out of another girl. I said, well, did it come out? And she hung up. She was doing what she's taught. How about your kids? How about your kids? How about your grandkids? I got my grandkids together. You know what I did? I practiced hearing God when they're 4 and 5 years old. Just like you do. This is how you hear God. And I remember we had a bunch of them. It was over. I said, this is how you hear God. And several of them said, Grandpa, God just talked with me. I said, what did God say to you? He says, he loves me. When you hear God speak that he loves you, you'll never be the same. How about your kids? Did you? Of course, you taught them how to hear God. I may not do the things that most people do, but I want my kids to know Jesus. I want my grandkids to flow in the supernatural. I want them to be able to hear God, cast out devils, and lay hands on the sick. Why? Because it's part of my genetic code. It's what's important to me. You see, we're missing something, aren't we? They learned this by you. Amen. So now different times they'll say, Grandpa, can I come with you and cast out devils? And sometimes I take them. When Lisa was 10 years old, I took her out and there was a medium that wanted to be set free and saved. And I let Lisa, 10 years old, I gave her a year old off because she was 10 when she, 9 when she received Jesus. At 10, she was casting out demons out of houses. Today, they're working in one of the faster growing churches in Canada on national TV. You know what she's doing? Casting out devils. She said, come on. My granddaughter, leading people to Christ. She goes online, she preaches, and she's casting out devils. They sent me this video. It shows Lydia casting out devils. That's a heritage. I want you to have that heritage. Amen. I didn't mean to. I'll tell you my prayer. I want to see Jesus. That's my prayer. I said, God, I want to see you. I told him, I don't care if it's on earth or not, but I long to see him. That's my heart's desire. How about you? If you're here today, I'm not going to have everybody come down, but if you're here and you say, you know what? I want all. I want to have some vital signs. I want to be living. If that's you, just stand. You don't have to. You can stay right where you're at. It won't bother me. It's not about me. It's about a type of covenant to God. I want to see Jesus. Wouldn't it be great? Paul was taught by Jesus for 3.5 years. John was in the Spirit. Jesus said, come up here. And he looked at Jesus. And I'm saying, God, I know I'm not Saul. I know I'm not Peter. I know I'm not John. I want to see you. I want to see your face. I want you to touch me. I just want to be with you more. See, that's what religion doesn't give you. So, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, for those who are standing, I'm going to say, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit of God right now. Receive an anointing. And God, I'm going to ask that you open up their spirit. Open up their spirit right now in Jesus' name. And let them receive communication. Let them receive your spirit in such a way that they'll, the vital signs that they will, they'll preach the gospel and see people get saved. They'll cast out devils, they'll heal the sick. Receive the Spirit of God right now, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Receive an infilling, a fresh anointing right now in Jesus' name. Quicken their spirits, God. These are wonderful people. They love you. They came here today for something, and I pray, God, they've received that same spirit that I know lives in me. And by faith, it's in them. Receive the Holy Spirit of God like never before. Let faith rise right now in Jesus' name. They are God's chosen, a royal priesthood. They're God's anointed. There's no one like them on the face of this earth. You made one of a kind when you made them. We just thank you for that. They're somebody special. Could you just, I want to say this, and I want you to count to three, and then we'll all say it together. I'm going to have you say, I'm somebody special. One, two, three. I'm somebody special. I want you to say that. Wow. You've been set apart. Father, we just thank you. Now bless them richly, body, soul, and spirit, in Jesus' name. Everybody said,
amen. Amen. Thank you, Glenn. Thank you, Glenn. You know, this morning I was reading in the Gospels where it says that the sower of the seed went out and sowed the seed, and some fell on hard soil, and some fell on shallow soil, and some fell. And it said that the birds of the air came and plucked the seed away. And so I just want to encourage everybody, what we heard today, all the scriptures that we heard today, pray about that and do a Bible study. And study the things that Glenn just shared with us. Because for some of us, some of this might have been new. And so sometimes new is uncomfortable. But I just want to encourage you, do a Bible study. Get your Bibles out and go over the verses that Glenn shared with us today. And then ask Holy Spirit to explain to you the scriptures and what he has for you. Amen? Let's guard the seed that was sowed into our lives today. And so God bless you and have a great week.